This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I can't begin to knowing, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands, touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching.
I think that might have been his most popular song. I'm not sure, but that's Neil Diamond for you. Every time I'm in a bar and that song comes on, and don't make it sound like I'm in a bar all the time, but when I am, and that song comes on, everybody says, you know, Sweet Caroline, yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody has
to. And they
go
the bump, bump, bump.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They really get into it.
It's also the Boston Red Sox little theme song they've got.
Is it really? Well, it's done them well. Boston's had a pretty good run. All right. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis. Thank you so much for joining us on this Monday morning, Wednesday morning, January the 8th. Indeed. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Cully Stimson of the Heritage Foundation on whether or not the killing of that Iranian general by the Trump administration was an assassination, or was it justified? All in light now of the attack by Tehran on our Iraqi bases. So lots going on. Stay tuned for that. And Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell now says he's got the votes to start the impeachment trial without the need to call witnesses. Not going to be intimidated, apparently, by the Democrats. We're going to get the people's perspective on all of this with the proprietor of the only poll that counts in this country, the Barber Poll. Mid-America's thoughts on what is going on in Washington with Andrew the Master Barber. And is New York having second thoughts about eliminating cash bail in return for less crowded jails? Did you know they're doing that? They're letting people walk out without posting any bail. Now tell me, if you didn't have to post bail, would you have second thoughts about showing up for your trial? In some cases, we'll talk about all of that. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10, we have a good one. The top 10 highest grossing movies of 2019. We'll find out how many Big Ed watched in 2019. He likes to watch movies. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. Get over there, get the best haircut you can get. They got a stoplight right in the window. I mean, if you decide, well, should I go in? Is it crowded? If it's too crowded, you'll see the light is red. If it's about moderate, yellow. And if the coast is clear, green. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Well, we got a lot of things going on. Everybody is talking about what Donald Trump did in terms of taking out that Iraqi general. And there's a question of whether or not Iran intentionally missed with those missiles in follow-up. Here is a story from, his name is Michael Pregent. He's from the Hudson Institute, and I came across this. He says that the missile attacks on two of our military bases in Iraq this morning did not kill or injure anybody, or at least any Americans. And he says that appears to have been deliberate. He's doing that on purpose. They're doing that on purpose. In other words, rather than really stab the lion, lion being us in this case, they just want to kind of do a light cut. Iran had to strike back at the U.S. in some way, he says, after that drone attack, which killed the Iranian... Now, some people call him a terrorist, and others call him simply a general in the Iranian army. Anyway, it's Qasem Soleimani. By the way, the second-in-command got knocked off, too. Did you know that? It wasn't just Soleimani. His second guy, apparently he was standing nearby, he got it, too. You know, I was thinking about that. Could you imagine walking, you know, being a guy like Soleimani or any of these people and realizing that at any moment some drone could come around the corner and knock you off? That'd be kind of nightmarish to me. Always in fear of that because you don't know, how do you stop a drone? In fact, why couldn't they have a bunch of drones ready to go knock off, hey, anybody, like Kim Jong-un? Do we have a drone waiting for him somewhere? You know? And would President Trump just say, hey, it's time for the drone, the Kim Jong-un drone? Or, God forbid, you wouldn't want to start a war with Russia, but you could knock off one or two of those people too, couldn't you?
Well, I mean, you could get through their defenses first. I mean,
well, a drone just sneaks around, doesn't it?
I believe the drone is a regular size aircraft, isn't it?
No, I'm talking about these little drones.
Oh, I don't.
Or am I wrong?
I think you're maybe wrong. You're right. I don't. Yeah, the drone is.
Can we get a bomb on a little drone?
The drone is a regular size aircraft that's controlled by somebody here in MacDill.
Okay.
That's what the drones are.
Oh.
You're thinking about.
Yeah.
Little Billy's drone.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, those don't go very far.
Couldn't we put a hand grenade in Little Billy's drone and send it over?
Well, yeah, if you're around the block, you're not going to get far.
Boy, you just ruined it for me. I was just thinking, you know, we could always warn Kim Jong-un, look, if you get a little bit too naughty, we got a drone waiting for you somewhere. Maybe Little Billy could be sent over and hiding in North Korea and be ready to do it.
You could give it to Dennis Rodman, too.
Yes. Now, that's a good idea. They would never suspect. I wonder when the last time was that Dennis Rodman went over there and sat down with his buddy Kim Jong-un.
He's 2 years ago.
Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah, when Trump was elected. I just watched a 30 for 30 on ESPN about him.
Wow.
It was 2 years ago.
Very interesting. Good old Dennis Rodman. What a character he is. And continues to be, right? So Trump is going to make a speech. And we're going to keep an eye on that. He says he's going to talk about this whole Iranian missile strike this morning. And here's what he says so far. All is well. That's what he says. That's what he tweeted last night. He says, missiles launched from Iran at two military bases in Iraq. Assessment of casualties and damage taking place now. So far, so good.
So basically, you're saying they just hit dirt.
I don't know what the heck they hit. Apparently, they intentionally didn't hit Americans.
It's a lot of dirt in Iran.
Sand.
Sand, whatever.
Yeah. No, there is. There is indeed. So Donald Trump will be making that presentation at some point today, apparently this morning. Now, Iran fired as many as 15 missiles into Iraq. You'd think they would have hit something. Why waste 15? By the way, I thought the Iran nuclear deal was to have curtailed that kind of thing. Apparently didn't curtail these missiles. These missiles were ready to go, weren't they? I mean, it's not like they just made the missiles. The missiles had to be there for quite a while. Anyway, very interesting. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Collie Stimson of the Heritage Foundation. Was this an assassination that hit on the general, or was it lawful?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on The Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back and delighted to have with us Cully Stimson. He is a senior legal fellow and manager of the National Security Law Program at the Great Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk a little bit about whether or not this killing of General Qasem Soleimani in Iraq was a lawful hit by the United States or an assassination. Cully, welcome to Freedom Works.
Good morning, Happy New Year, and thanks for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure, Cully. I saw you the other day on, I think it was Outnumbered on Fox, and you were talking a little bit, and this was before what happened now here in the response by Iran. You were talking about the fact that, indeed, this was important that we took out this general. Tell us a little bit about your thinking behind all of that, would you?
Well, first off, it's really important to, when trying to answer the legal question of whether the targeted killing of this individual was lawful, is to remember that we're in a state of armed conflict. This is not a criminal action. The laws applicable in courts around our country aren't applicable here. The law of war applies, and the president enjoys broad powers under Article 2 of the Constitution to defend the country against threats, foreign and domestic. All presidents have exercised that power unilaterally and broadly, regardless of party affiliation. And here, not only has Congress passed two statutes, the 2001 Authorization of Use of Military Force and the 2002 Iraq Authorization of Use of Military Force, that allows, by domestic statutory law, the president to engage in armed conflict against al-Qaeda, the Afghan Taliban, and associated forces, including ISIS, but other folks not connected to the 9/11 attacks. And clearly, Soleimani, for decades, has been engaged in combatant activities against our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines. The DoD put out statistics in April of this year, last year, saying that Soleimani's thugs alone were responsible for at least 603 soldiers, American soldiers' deaths, and thousands of others through his proxies. So he was clearly a combatant on the battlefield. And so this president, or President Obama, or President Bush, could have targeted him with a military strike, killed him, and it would have been perfectly legal.
Well, you know, you get a lot of the media calling this an assassination, you know, and it seems like there was a time when both Democrats and Republicans would kind of rally together. They would join together when anything happened off our shores like this. And yet now it doesn't make any difference. Look at the Democrats going after Donald Trump and saying, you know, what a horrible thing this was. And just the fact that some of these media would call this an assassination. You know where they stand.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You have to distinguish between pure ignorance, which a lot of this is just pure ignorance of the law, and then political posturing because they loathe this president, or a combination of both, ignorant and loathing. Remember that starting back in the 70s under President Ford, he issued an executive order. For those nerds out there who want to look it up, it's Executive Order 11905. That took place after the CIA tried to assassinate Cuba, assassinate Fidel Castro, and it banned assassinations. And then President Carter and President Reagan each reiterated those that assassination ban in their particular executive orders. Reagan's 12333 still exists to this day. It affirms the ban on assassinations, but it doesn't define the term assassination. And nor it has always been interpreted to mean assassinating a political a leader of a country for political purposes.
So if we
and so this clearly does not fall under that. This right. was a military general who was a thug, who was a war criminal, killed civilians indiscriminately, and was a lawful target from the moment he stepped on the battlefield. We could have gone in and killed him via special forces when he was sleeping in his bed, and he had not planned any future attacks.
So if we had gone in and killed, let's say, the leader of Iran, Khamenei, Ali Khamenei, that would be different. It would fall under what you just talked about. Is that right?
That arguably would be different,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Now, so we go, I mean, a lot of people, and I guess you yourself would say, this is much like the Osama bin Laden situation.
Or the al-Baghdadi situation.
Or exactly. The al-Baghdadi. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
And the fact that Soleimani was not a household name like bin Laden makes no difference. That's just a lack of paying attention to what Soleimani's been doing and reading about what he's been doing in the news. Most people didn't know the name al-Baghdadi until we took him out as well.
Right. We're talking with Cully Stimson, and he is a senior legal fellow at the Great Heritage Foundation. He also continues to serve with the rank of captain as the commanding officer of the preliminary hearing unit in the Navy. So he knows what he's talking about. You know, now Iran launches these missiles on those Iraqi U.S. bases. Apparently doesn't hurt any of the Americans, at least the last we've read about it. Do you think they intentionally did not want to kill Americans with the attack, or was this just blind luck, or what?
Well, before hazarding a guess at that, let me just say I'm speaking on behalf of the Heritage Foundation and not the Navy or the Department
Correct.
Of Defense.
Yes.
It's hard to say. It's too early to be able to say definitively whether they were just a bad aim or whether they intentionally missed targets that would have caused a lot of damage to U.S. service members, but did it so that they could, for domestic political purposes, say we went after what they call the Great Satan, which is us, and we brought them to their knees, which is the type of propaganda that they'll put out. My gut tells me, and this is not based on any bomb damage assessments or any of the facts that have been on the ground yet or made known to us in the public, is that they realize that in taking out Soleimani, President Trump had been extremely patient to date, but by taking him out, he was really serious about drawing a line in the red sand, and he's the un-Obama, and he's not going to put up with any more deaths of American soldiers, sailors, airmen, or Marines, and that if they were to escalate in a way that was injurious to us, as opposed to only looking dangerous, that Secretary Pompeo and others who have warned them that we're not going to strike their proxies, we're going to go to the heart of the matter, that we're serious about it. And so my hope is that, as I said on that Outnumbered show on Fox, is that the diplomats, and specifically Secretary Pompeo, but others, swoop in behind the scenes and start making overtures to the Iranian leadership to say, look, let's dial this down. Let's try to get this back in the box. But your world spread of terror and your animus towards us and your killing of our people is going to end. And also, we're not going to let you get a nuclear bomb.
Yes, indeed. That's the other thing, of course, everybody is worried about. Now, you've also heard, and you might not want to comment on it, it's a little political, but let me ask you anyway, that Trump launches this hit on this general because of the impeachment situation, kind of the wag the dog thing, like Clinton did with Kosovo, I guess, back when he was being impeached. What do you think about any of that? I mean, is that just not nonsense, or is there something to it, do you think?
Well, the only thing I'll say, because I only do policy, not politics, is that I've seen no evidence, nor have I read anything, that leads me to believe that this was motivated by anything other than the need to target and eliminate a lawful target who was dangerous and plotting future operations against American servicemen, diplomatic personnel, and our allies. If evidence emerges of that nature, well, then we'll have to look at the evidence. But I'm a Joe Friday person, and I like just the facts.
Just the facts, ma'am. Will you entertain a question here from my colleague?
Of course.
Yeah, Cully, I was wondering, in your opinion, do you think if it had been any other country that took out the Iranian general, would the Iranian response be more intense if it was any other country than the United States?
Depends who it was. If it was Israel, perhaps. But it's really hard to say, and I can't play in the world of hypotheticals there. I mean, they have called us the great Satan. They've called for the elimination of Israel from the face of the earth. They have close business ties with many other countries, including Western European countries. So it really depends who did it, how they did it, whether it was overt or covert.
You know, along that line, Cully, what has the European response been to all of this? We know what Israel is thinking. They're delighted, and they're in our corner. But what about Britain, France, and Germany? Are they glad we did this, do you think?
I don't know. I haven't read their press or listened to their radio shows, which I do enjoy. I was stationed in Europe during the Balkan War when I was a naval officer, so I'm quite an Anglophile and enjoy European culture and politics. You know, look, he did not just kill Americans. He killed allies' troops. And so I think any person who has national pride in their country and wants to see their servicemen and women protected, who lost people at the bloody hands of Soleimani and his thugs, would rest easier at night knowing that he's gone, and hope that his successor and the leadership of Iran will be a little more reasonable.
Indeed. I would think that the American public in general, who didn't know, you know, two-thirds of them cannot find Iraq or Iran on a map, I don't think anyway, but they probably are thinking, you know, this guy killed a lot of Americans. I'm kind of glad they got him. I mean, that's to me what middle America is thinking, but I don't know. If you look at the mainstream press, it's, oh, my God, what have we unleashed, you know?
You know, an interesting thing is when President Obama had the courage to order the strike against the operation against Osama bin Laden and fortunately took him out, they were very ham-handed and pathetic in their legal justification for doing it, even though it was perfectly legal. They just botched the rollout of why it was legal. They assumed that everyone would just get it. And the Trump administration, and I wrote about it, and you can see that on heritage.org or it's cross-posted in the National Review, but the Trump administration, I think, has fallen into the same trap where they needed to get out there immediately and explain the legal basis for this. This was perfectly legal, just like the Osama bin Laden operation was perfectly legal. There's nothing wrong, in fact, everything right legally, with targeting a combatant of the United States who has blood on his hands when you're in a state of armed conflict, as long as you follow the rules of war, and here they did. And so I think today they're attempting to claw back that narrative by sending the top folks up to the Hill to explain the legal and other bases for it. I think once people are satisfied that it was perfectly legal, and I don't think anyone seriously doubts, anyone who's serious about the law of war and understands it knows this was perfectly legal. And then the question will be, was it prudential? Is it going to open a can of worms that we didn't need to open and lead to something broader? And that's where the diplomacy side comes in.
Indeed, Cully, it was a real pleasure talking with you about all of this, and we're going to hear more from Donald Trump. Maybe he will explain some of the rationale behind all of it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it was really a pleasure joining you. Thank you.
All right, my friend. There he goes, Cully Stimson of the Heritage Foundation. Very interesting guy, and knows what of he speaks. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, going to turn to this impeachment deal. Apparently, Mitch McConnell's got the votes to start the impeachment trial without no stinking witnesses, but we're going to get the point of view of the barber poll and Andrew the Master Barber.
Little darling, and tell me that you never leave me. Come on, let's go again, again, and again. Well, now swing me all the way down there. Come on, let's go.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, Bowling Stars, old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back and delighted to have our buddy Andrew the Master Barber joining us. And Andrew, it looks like Mitch McConnell has got the votes now to start this stinking trial, this impeachment trial, as soon as Pelosi decides to hand the documents over, and without having to call any witnesses. There's not going to be any deal on that. It says here the announcement's significant, enabling McConnell to bypass, for now, Democratic demands for new testimony in this whole trial. I wanted to get your thoughts on that. And do you think that our friend Nancy is going to finally deliver those documents this week?
Well, Paul, first of all, there's more going on in this country now than needs to even deal with this impeachment crap. McConnell's got the votes to go ahead with the trial without her papers if he has to. mm-hmm. from what I understand. So you know what? I said, get this over with because we got to move on to other things here.
Right.
You know, let's quit playing their games. Let's realize what's going on in this country. You know, we've been attacked.
So let's talk about that a little bit. Iran launches these missiles on these U.S.-Iraqi bases. Apparently it doesn't hurt or kill any Americans. Do you think they're just a little bit intimidated by the U.S. or what?
Paul, to me, it's one of two things. I guess they get their missiles from either Russia or China, right?
Maybe
one of them didn't work, maybe, and the other one's missed.
I think that's
a good preview. I think they need to get a hold of Honeywell.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I think they get them from North Korea. Remember when you were young and it said "Made in Korea" on those little?
Hey, don't buy it. Don't buy it.
The little paper toys and stuff.
That's right. But Paul, you know what? This is something that needed to be done, Paul. They've been playing games for 40 years. All right, they attacked three ships in the Straits of Hormuz. They went after the Saudi oil refineries. They've knocked down our drones. You know what I mean?
Yes,
enough is enough of this crap.
Yeah.
You know, the bully wants to play. It's time for the bully to pay.
So, Donald,
if I was Trump, I'd go in there and I'd get those B-52s, and they got those exploding Tiglet bombs. We won't have to kill anybody. These bombs hit the ground. And they release 1,000 little piglets in the whole place. So we can get them psychological warfare, that's called.
Piglets?
Piglets. The piglet bombs, yes.
You mean little pigs? Little baby pigs?
Little baby pigs in them.
Well,
and they just, the thing opens up in the front and they all run loose.
That would just drive them nuts.
That's right. And we wouldn't kill any of them. It would be the most humane thing to do, psychological warfare.
It would be, yeah. Yeah, no,
but, Paul, it's ridiculous what's going on. I back the president 100%. And me being a veteran, if I had to put my uniform on tomorrow, I'd go back. Believe me.
I know you
would. This country's in dire need. And this time, I think we got the right man at the helm this time.
So do you think this is leading to an even greater conflict in
Well, how great can the conflict be?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, technically, we can go in there ballistically without even nuclear weapons and knock them off the map. They don't have the military to stand up against ours. That'd be suicide for them.
Yeah.
I think they're just trying to save their face by doing what they did.
I see.
Saying, well, we retaliated. And I think Trump is onto what they're doing. You know, he's not going to do anything stupid. The guy knows what he's doing. Believe me.
Yeah. He's going to make an announcement this morning, apparently, maybe early this afternoon, and explain a little bit, I think, of the rationale behind all of this.
Yeah, did you see where Nancy Pelosi wants to get a bill signed to limit what Trump could do in Iran?
Yes.
This woman is nuts, Paul.
Indeed.
They need to go away. This country needs to be taken care of now and get this baloney impeachment stuff out of the way with them.
Right. You know, on another topic, if I might, I'm going to read a story a little bit later. I don't know if you heard about it, but it comes from your home state or your former state, New York.
Because it surprised me about the people being let out of jail, right?
Yes, cash.
Paul, they're morons, Paul. That's why I call it the rotten apple. How stupid are these people?
They have a landmark new law, took effect January the 1st, curtailing the use of cash bail. So these people
they lost it, Paul. It's the rotten apple now. It's no longer the big apple. It's the rotten apple. I feel sorry for the people up there. Believe me.
It says here, after less than a week under the new system, elected officials are already having second thoughts.
How stupid are they? You know, I feel sorry for the people where I come from up in Rochester, because believe me, they don't think like this. But
yeah.
They're all suckered in with New York City, and they can't outvote these people. There's just too many of them.
Apparently the same idiots that voted in the driver's licenses for illegals. No,
yeah, everybody gets a driver's license.
Yeah, so
that's surprising. They give the toothbrush and toothpaste to everybody pretty soon.
And those are the same people that came up with this gem of a law. This is really something to see. We'll see how quickly they overturn it, although that crazy governor is probably going to try to save face somewhere.
Yeah, he can't save his face. It's already done. It's already done. Go ahead.
I got to take you on to another topic. Did you watch any of those Golden Globe Awards? And are you?
No, I wish I did one time in my life. No, I can't stand the suckers, and I missed the best part of the thing.
Exactly. I missed it, too. In fact, I'll be honest, I did not even know who Ricky Gervais was.
No, me neither, but now I do.
This guy, I tell you what, I watched a tape of this, and I think, you know, this guy has got whatever you want to call it, to stand up there in Hollywood. And he's a liberal.
Yep.
He's absolutely a liberal. But he attacked them and reduced them to rubble, some of those.
It's like you said, he doesn't plan on doing it anymore, so no. Why not? You know?
Yeah. And then when they go after him saying, well, you're turning conservative, he said, how the FK can teasing huge corporations and the richest, most privileged people in the world be considered right-wing? In other words, all these Hollywood elites are as wealthy as you can get, right? And pretending to be all of these things that they're not.
They should send them up to New York City.
He concluded,
they get along good with the people up there.
They would. He concluded his monologue by warning the celebrities not to make any political or woke statements when accepting their awards. He said, you're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world. Most of you spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. That Swedish girl or whoever it was.
Yep, Greta Global. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
No. Yep. Paul, like I say, you got New York, you got California. If we can get rid of those two states in this country, I think we'd be well off.
You would think by now that the people, especially any right-thinking Democrats, would start revolting on this. It'll be very interesting to see. Not that Trump would win New York or California, but it will.
You know,
go ahead.
Paul, it's sad to say, it's very sad to say, but the people in New York and in California, New York City and in California and Los Angeles, there's only one thing that'll wake them up, Paul.
What's that?
And I hate to say what it is, but to be attacked from somewhere and a big bomb going off like happened September 11th. Maybe that'll refresh their memories.
You think so? I'm not even sure that would do it.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure.
You know, when it hits home, Paul, things change.
Yeah. You know, it's always the rot from within, not from without, that causes trouble. And it seems like we've done that in New York City. We've done that in Los Angeles and some other places.
And look at Ilhan Omar. You see what she's saying to do? She's telling the Iranians they need to hit the Trump hotels. This way he can't do nothing if they hit his hotels, because then the Democrats can say that it's infringing on his profits, and this is the only reason why he's going after them.
Okay, now did she really say that, or did she tweet it?
According to what I see, I've seen a video,
that.
I saw a couple tweets. If you look it up, you can see her tweets, yeah.
She wouldn't be that upset if it happened, but I don't know that she would say it right out loud. Yeah,
look up her tweets, Paul.
Okay.
Her tweets were right on there. They were all over the computer, and that's what she said.
Right.
I mean, I'm surprised they haven't taken this chick out for treason, for a bunch of other things. I think it's disgusting that our government lets people like this in our country, let alone be in our government.
Since I last spoke with you, I think a couple of more Democrats have bitten the dust. One of them is that Castro character.
Now he's backing Elizabeth Warren.
And he's backing Elizabeth Warren. That's a kiss of death, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, they aren't going nowhere, Paul. You see Bloomberg's commercials on TV. Please, another one.
Well, you know what, though? Bloomberg is actually, if you look at the latest polling, supposedly, he's actually ticked up a little bit. Now, he is spreading his commercials all over the place. We get it here in Florida. They got this woman talking about how health care and what he did in New York and all that.
Did you see he's going to spend $10 million during the Super Bowl?
Wow.
Yep.
So is Trump. They're both spending $10 million each.
That'll get you a 30-second commercial of $10
million. Two of them.
One time, 30 seconds. That's about it.
That's about all you're going to get out of that. But
well, I tell you what, the American people better have their eyes behind their heads right now. Anything that looks suspicious, anytime, because, you know, anything can happen. Did you see where the Ayatollah is telling everybody they need to start fires all over Europe, all over America? Start fires like they happen in Australia. You see, they're blaming those fires in Australia on 200 people that were for climate change. This and that, all these protesters, they got 200 of them. They say everyone just started these fires.
You know, I wonder what the real people in Iraq and Iran really think of these people like the Ayatollah.
Hey, Paul, you know, if you go back to 1979, Iran was westernized.
Right.
Women dressed like the women here.
Right. Well, we had
how
the
did
Shah
this
of Iran.
Happen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How did it happen?
They went back to their they kind of went back to their cultural and religious roots after the Shah of Iran was who abdicated. Right. That was with the attack on the in 1970. Right. Exactly. And they kind of went back. The mullahs and all that. They kind of seeped back into government. And
Well, that's what they're doing here, huh?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I mean, it's a
shame. There's 56 Muslims that have infiltrated our government already.
I wonder if she's going to be you're talking about Ilhan Omar and Tlaib. I wonder if they're going to be reelected.
Barack Obama put 80,000 plants in Minnesota, so.
What's that?
Barack Obama planted 80,000 Somalis and whatever in Minnesota, Minneapolis.
He planted them. How did he do that?
Well, he put them all there, 80,000 of them.
How?
What do you mean how? They were coming in legally or whatever, and he was setting them all up.
Oh, he was sending them on their way up there? Is that what you mean? To Minnesota?
Yeah, he set them up there. You know, and from what I hear, too, there were 2,000 plants put in Clearwater, too.
Oh, my goodness.
As you know, this is what I heard a while back, and from what I understand, when they brought them here, they brought them in at 2 o'clock in the morning on UPS planes at Tampa International Airport.
Holy Toledo.
Yeah, and this was years back, Paul.
I see. Well, I'm not sure about that, but they are wielding some scary influence right now, Tlaib and Ilhan Omar.
Although
I think a lot of people are, I would hope most people are dismissing these people.
Well, look at the people that are backing them, Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, the Democrat Party is backing them. Look at how they're backing Iran, a lot of them. Look at Pelosi. Come on.
Well, Pelosi's just kicking and screaming. I think she can't stand them either, if you want to.
Well, she's got no say about anything no more. They overpowered her.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed.
They overpowered her, Paul. But like I said, they need to throw this impeachment crap over, get it out of the way, and let's get done with business and get things squared away.
I want Nancy to go grab those documents from her medicine cabinet. I don't grab the wrong thing, because you don't want to send your dentures over there to be considered by the Senate. That would be a no-no. But you get those documents over there. Let's get this thing over with.
No, like I said, as far as what I'm understanding, McConnell's going on with proceedings without her.
He's going to, for sure, apparently has the votes so that they don't need to call these witnesses.
That's right.
Maybe they can get this.
They got no right, Paul, to tell the Senate how to run their tribe.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, they should say, we're just going to use the same rules you people use with your trial.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it should have been.
Yeah, let's get this thing over with and be on our way. Well, I want to thank you, Andrew. I'm going to be seeing you in just a little bit, so I'm looking forward to it.
You got it. Well, God bless our warriors over there in the Middle East. Protect them, huh?
Thank you, Andrew, indeed.
All right, Paul, you take care, buddy.
All right. Bye-bye. There he goes, Andrew, the master barber. Wow. Okay, going to take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, we're going to give you the highest grossing movies of 2019. Ooh, ooh, ah, only the lonely, only the lonely, only the lonely.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment. here on Freedom Works, and thank you so very much for joining us. By the way, you can go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and you can listen to our show any stinking time you want, because Big Ed sets up all of our programs on podcast. There's a podcast button at the very top of the website. Go over there, and when you click on it, you're going to see the guests that we're going to have on that show and the top 10. What more can you want in life? By the way, CNN has settled a defamation lawsuit filed by that kid, Nick Sandman. Remember him? Remember when Nick Sandman was with that group of kids and was surrounded, and then that Indian guy came up and started beating on the tom-tom and all that? So they have settled, CNN, over its coverage of that confrontation. And Nick is from Kentucky. He was from Covington Catholic High School in Kentucky. Now, CNN settled with Sandman for an undisclosed amount. The lawyer for Sandman had filed a $250 million defamation suit against not only CNN, but the Washington Post and NBC. And those particular suits are ongoing. Also, the attorney for Sandman has said that they plan to sue Gannett, the publisher of the Cincinnati Enquirer, among others, for their coverage as well of that whole situation. You might remember that there was a bunch of boys that were surrounded all of a sudden by these kind of like Antifa people, and then this this tribal elder kind of guy from one of the Native American tribes came up and started beating on a tom-tom in front of this guy. And then CNN and some of the others portrayed it as if Sandman had approached the tribal elder. It was kind of, you know, backwards. So I wonder how much in the long run Sandman's going to make. He's going to make quite a bit, I think. Well, we'll see. They haven't, by the way, this is an undisclosed amount. Also, Rachel Maddow, remember she had a big ratings surge for a while on MSNBC. Well, now, remember we were talking with Cully Stimson. He had been on Outnumbered. Well, on Fox. Well, now the 5 on Fox has overtaken Rachel Maddow in the ratings. And Rachel was outside of Fox News. I think Rachel's show was number 1, wasn't it? And the rest of the cable news networks. But Maddow averaged just over 2.5 million viewers in the last week that they had, checked. That's between the 30th of December and the 5th of January. And meanwhile, Fox News, Sean Hannity, topping everybody in the cable news business. He averages 3.5 million people. Maddow's got about 2.5 million. So he's fully in front of her. But now even the 5 apparently has caught up with Rachel Maddow. 5 goes on at 5 p.m. So very interesting. Fox, you would think, now there's this One American News Network. I guess I've not seen them, but they're very conservative. But other than that, you just have Fox, you know? And you got NBC, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, Bloomberg, all on the other side. Oh, well. It is time for our top 10. Ed, you got to wake up and go over there to the drum, get on there, because we've got a good one. This is the top 10 highest grossing movies in 2019. And I will be very interested, Ed, to see how many of these you actually saw. I will tell you up front that of the 10, I have seen one of them and missed the other 9. So, without further ado, here we go. Top 10 highest grossing movies of last year. Number 10, Toy Story 4 is number 10. It had the largest opening all time for an animated film. Now, they've made 4 of those movies, making Tom Hanks and that other guy very wealthy that do the voices in that. Did you ever see any of those?
Tim Allen, I think.
Tim Allen, yeah. That's right, yeah.
No, I've never seen anyone. Whoa, never seen anyone.
Okay. Well, I saw one, I think the first one for some reason. I can't remember why. Number 9. Aquaman. These sound like kids' movies.
That was one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
Ah, you did see it.
God,
you did see
that
it.
That was awful.
Sixth highest grossing superhero origin film.
Do you remember the Tom Hanks movie Splash?
Yes.
With the mermaid? Well,
Daryl Hannah was the mermaid in there.
Flip it. That's all it was. Flip it.
Really?
The guy was a mermaid. Or waterman, whatever.
Kind of effeminate man.
It was.
Yeah.
I couldn't get that hour and a half back for my life.
Okay, number 8. Shazam.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen that.
Okay. 7th highest grossing superhero comedy film. It was a comedy superhero film, however they did that. All right, number 7. Pokemon Detective Pikachu. And even if you did see it, you wouldn't admit to that one now, would you?
No.
Well, it was the top highest grossing video game adaptation film. So there. Number 6. Now, this movie I did see. I saw John Wick Parabellum.
Okay.
And I must admit, I kind of get into the John Wick thing.
Okay.
Have you seen any of those?
No.
Oh, I think you'd like them. He's really a different guy.
Okay.
Really a different superhero. All right, number 5. How to Train Your Dragon. How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. I don't even know what that's all about.
Is that a kid's movie?
It's got to be. How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. It's either that or it's a porno movie, but I'm not sure which it is. Number 4. Us.
Oh,
you heard of that movie?
Come on.
I'm not kidding. Have you heard of it?
Yep.
3rd largest opening all time for an R-rated horror film.
That was, quote, one of the first all African-American horror movies.
Okay.
They're calling it the whole cast.
Wow.
Was pretty much.
Well, it was
like any other horror movie.
Did you see it?
Yeah. Let me put it this way. I tolerated it.
No, that's good. So you didn't think it was any good, though, huh?
No, it was horrible.
It was horrible. All right. Where are we? Number 3. Aladdin.
I thought
they made that a few years ago.
Well, no.
This is a new one.
This is a new one with Will Smith.
Okay.
So that probably boosted it right there.
2nd highest grossing musical film.
I don't do musicals.
You didn't see that?
No.
Okay. Number 2. Captain Marvel.
Okay.
Did you see
it? It's a superhero movie, but no.
Okay. 6th highest grossing MCU, whatever that means. And I don't know what it means, but 2nd highest in grossing. All right. Here we go, Ed. And I know you don't know, or maybe you want to hazard a guess. Do you know what the highest grossing movie was of 2019?
I would say Star Wars, the latest one, but there wasn't enough time.
Yeah.
It came out in December.
It's not that. You want to try another guess?
I don't know. Go ahead.
All right. Roll the drum, my friend. Avengers Endgame.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Did you see it?
I tried a couple of times, but never finished.
You didn't finish it? You found it boring?
Yeah.
Well, delivered the largest opening weekend of all time in movies. Yeah. Avengers Endgame. Now, I don't know that... There used to be a television show called The Avengers. Is that connected in any...
Sort of, yeah.
It is. I see. Wow. Hey, thank you so very much, everybody, for joining us. And I want to remind you... Following the news, the Craft Beer Hour with Kenny and Bill. You got to listen to it because it's great. This is Paul Molloy. We'll be back Friday. Remember, freedom works.
You are my candy girl, and you got me wanting you. Honey.